Without the Guru, who can finish the pains of this world? This is Brahmanand's Bhajan, Guru Bina Kona Mitave, on page 177. The river of the world is deep, and the current is swift. All the souls are swept away in it. Holding the souls by their arms, Master graciously brings them to the other bank. The thieves of lust, anger, egoism, and greed come together to plunder and devour. After putting the sword of knowledge in the disciple's hand, he hits them and makes them run. One has to go far. The night is dark. The way is not visible. After putting them on the straight path, he takes them home, so they are happy. Brahmanand says, one who pleases the Master, after sacrificing the body, mind, and wealth, swims across the deep ocean of this world easily. Without the Guru, who can finish the pains of this world?
Dukha Guru Bina Kona Mitave Re Guru Bina Kona Mitave Pava Dukha Guru Bina Kona Mitave Re Gehri Nadia Vega Barohe Behet Jeeva Sabajave Re Gehri Nadia Vega Barohe Behet Jeeva Sabajave Re Karakira Pa Guru Pakara Bujase Kechatira Paralave Re Guru Bina Kona Mitave Pavaduka Guru Bina Kona Mitave Re Guru Bina Kona Mitave Pavaduka Guru Bina Kona Mitave Re Kama Karoda Madaloba Chora Mila Luta Luta Karakave Re Kama Karoda Madaloba Chora Mila Luta Luta Karakave Re Gyana karagade kar kar mahe sabko mara bhagave re Guru bina kona mitave pavaduka guru bina kona mitave re Guru bina kona mitave Pavaduka Guru Bina Kona Mitave Re Jana Dura Rati Andiari Gela Najara Nayave Re Jana Dura Rati Andiari Gela Najara Nayave Re Sīde māraga parapaga dharakara sukase dāma pugāve re Guru bina kona mitāve pavaduka guru bina kona mitāve re Guru bina kona mitāve pavaduka guru bina kona mitāve re Tan man dhan sabe arpan karke jo guru devar jave re Tan man dhan sabe arpan karke jo guru devar jave re Brahmanand bhava sagar dustar so sahaje tar jave re Guru bina kona mitave pavaduka guru bina kona mitave re Guru bina kona mitave pavaduka guru bina kona mitave re
Okay, an announcement here. 4 weeks from now, there will be a one-day meditation retreat for the new year. It will be all day, Tuesday, January 1st. Initiates are welcome to attend any meditation sittings, and the schedules and meditation times are at the book table. And local initiates, if you want to participate and you're going to take meals, please let us know so we have an idea of how many to cook for. And guests wishing to attend and needing overnight accommodations are asked to please let the ashram know well ahead of time. And continuing in the book, In Search of the Gracious One, we'll begin this section with another one of Sanchi's bhajans, Tusi Arda Josuno Kirtapala Guru. Hear our plea, O Guru Kripal, and divert our minds from the bad deeds. The mind does not come to satsang. It does not feel embarrassed doing the bad deeds. O gracious Lord, have pity on the souls and attach our hearts to the feet of the Master. We are the suffering ones from birth after birth. We are the unchaste, angry, deceitful, indulgent ones. O Guru, you yourself take care of your souls and break the veil of mind. The mind is afraid of Paramartha. Leaving meditation, he presents excuses. He has been wandering for many births. Shower grace and unite him with the Lord. The honeybee loves the fragrance of your flowers. He always waits for your grace and mercy. Hear the plea of Ajab the sinner. Attach the mind in Simran. And Sanchi says, there was an initiate of Master Kripal named Jagrup Singh. After taking initiation, he left the path and started eating meat and drinking wine. Once, another initiate in his village accidentally ate meat and drank wine, but afterwards he realized his mistake. Ordinarily, people have this habit of finding fault with others. They don't think about what they are doing or have done. And so when Jagrup came to know that that other initiate had taken meat and wine after initiation, he taunted him, and he said, either leave the path or don't eat and drink these things. That other dear one replied, I did this by mistake, and now I realize it. You shouldn't taunt me like this because you also eat meat and drink wine. You have also made a great mistake. Jagrup Singh said, yes, I have also done that, but it's not a mistake. I left the path and then I started eating meat. You should also leave the path. I happened to hear this conversation and I said, Jagrup Singh, you should not talk like this. You say that you have left the path, but Master has not left you. Definitely, at the time of death, he will come to take you, and then you will realize that this was your mistake. At that time, you will be so ashamed that you won't be able to look at the Master. You say, bring the promissory note, and I can write on that I have left the path. However, in reality, Master will never leave you, because when saints initiate any soul, they always stay with him. They never leave him until the end of the world. When I said that, he replied, no, I don't believe in that. This is all bogus. After that, whenever I would see him, he would say, I'm waiting for that day. Whatever you said, it's all false. But I would say, no, wait for the time and you will realize this. It so happened that he murdered a person and was sent to jail, and it was in jail that he left the body. Because he had made that mistake, he was given punishment on his body, and before leaving the body, he got sick. There were many locks and guards there, but still Master appeared at that place to liberate him at his death. At that time, Jagrup Singh said, "Now my master has come, but with what face can I stand before him? How can I reply to him?" But still, master came there, for once a master has initiated any soul, no matter if he has done bad deeds, still the master comes at the time of death to liberate him. When this thing happened, many prisoners who saw it were very impressed. They understood the importance, the greatness of master power. They wrote me many letters saying that they wanted to take initiation when they got out of jail. One cannot describe the glory of the master. It is a matter of experience. Only those on whom he is gracious can know about his glory. It is also a matter of faith. The more faith one has in him, the more one can see of his glory. There was one boy who was a relative of mine who left the body at the young age of 14. In those days in India, the disease of smallpox was very severe and many people used to die because of it. Now it has been eradicated from India, but in those days it was very bad. That boy got smallpox and he suffered from that disease for many days before he left the body. He was in terrible pain and he would even become unconscious. However, whenever I went near that boy, he would ask me to sit with him. Whenever I sat with him, he would say, "Before you came, I felt as if insects were biting and eating my body. The pain which I was having, I cannot describe. In addition, I see many evil faces, and they're frightening me. But when you come, all those things go away, and I feel comfortable." Whenever I was sitting with him, he would say that he felt some relief, and he would request me to stay longer with him. Since his mother had faith in the master, master gave her an experience, and she saw the master in a dream. In her vision, the master told her, "Since your son is suffering so much, he won't be able to live in this world. He will die. But don't worry, because on the third day from now, at midnight, I will come to take him up. You should make tea then, and after he drinks tea, I will take him up. But take care that you do not weep after he leaves the body, because now his soul is under my protection. He will be born again in a human body, and he will become a man." In that village, there were four or five other satsangis, and Master was so gracious that he also gave darshan to all those other satsangis and told them that on the third night he would come and take that boy at midnight. The lady became very happy that the master was going to come and protect the soul of her son. It happened just as he had said. 3 days later, two of the other satsangis of the same village were going to sleep about 8 o'clock when they had the experience of seeing Master's car coming there, and Master told them that he had come to take the soul of that boy. Both of them came to me and told me that they had seen Master and that very soon he would be coming to take the boy's soul. So we were prepared for that, and that night we all sat there in meditation. At 11:30, that boy asked for tea, and his mother went into the kitchen to make some. She was not at all worried about her son's departure, as she was feeling very happy that Master was coming to take him. She knew the boy would not leave the body until he drank the tea, so she wanted to delay, and she started singing hymns in the kitchen. At 12:15, when I saw that she was delaying his departure, I called her and I said, "Why are you not giving tea to him?" Then the son shouted out, "Mother, bring the tea as soon as possible. If you will give me a spoonful of tea, it's okay. If you don't want to give it, we will go without drinking the tea. So at once the mother brought the tea, and as soon as he drank two spoonfuls, he said, "Now, Master has come, and I am going with him." He shouted out in a loud voice, and because I was sitting very close to him, he put his hand on my chest and left the body. Even though he had had so much pain in his last days, his passing was peaceful, and he had no pain at that time. Master came to protect his soul and took his soul up. When that boy left the body, nobody wept for his departure, because everyone knew that Master had taken care of his soul. His parents did not weep, because they had faith that the Master had protected his soul. The family was criticized by other people in the village, for if anyone loses his young son, it's a matter of great sorrow. When the parents did not weep, people started talking about them. "Look at them, they're not even sorry to have lost their young son." But since the parents knew what the reality was, they didn't weep. They were very grateful to Master Kripal for coming to take care of their son. Master always takes care of the souls of the disciples, even if one is not initiated. But still, if he has faith in him, Master comes and takes care of that soul. Master Sawan Singh used to say, "Masters always come into this world to protect the souls of the disciples." If you have faith in him, he will definitely come to take you and give you a better place. So how can we sing the praise of that great Master Kripal? We will leave off there. And this is a talk that Master Kripal gave in April of 1963. And I believe from what Master says at the beginning that this was recorded on a tape and sent back to the American disciples with someone who is returning. He says, "Ladies and gentlemen, last year a short discourse in English was recorded and sent to the States through Mrs. Lucille Gunn when she returned homewards. The idea was greatly appreciated, and I have since then been receiving numerous requests for sending similar talks from time to time. I have accordingly decided to speak to you once again. God made man, and man made religions. The underlying urge for the creation of various religions has always been the desire for the liberation of the soul in man from the bondage of mind and matter, and thereby an end to the endless cycle of births and deaths. All the world religions have this idea at the core, in one form or another. And if we were to make a comparative study of the different scriptural texts, we would come to the same conclusion. The bedrock of all the religions is the one reality, truth, the Alpha and Omega of all creation. Truth is, of course, one, although it has been described variously by the sages in the language of the time and place in which they lived. It is around this central idea of one truth that the various religions have grown. Again, the cardinal principles of all religions are akin to each other, in spite of the seeming differences in the non-essential details pertaining mostly to rites and rituals, as fostered from time to time by the priestly order. Love for God and man is the keynote of all the prophets and saints, and search for the one reality is their sole theme. In this mighty quest, they had to delve deep in the recesses of their own self within, the treasure house of untold riches of spirituality, apparently lost to man, mightily engaged in the pursuits of all that is of the world. For in his overbearing love for the worldly gifts of God, he forgets and forsakes the divine immanent in all forms. The scriptures, whatever their origin, are nothing but the record of the experiences of the godly souls, carried on in their effort to bring out the basic life principle enlivening all souls, for the benefit of posterity in general, and the aspiring souls in particular. God-men came into the world not to make any new laws, nor to destroy the laws as they exist, but only to uphold the universal divine law, unchangeable as it is. Their message is one of hope, fulfillment, and redemption for those in search of the divine in man. And as such, they constitute a great cementing force, transcending all denominational creeds and faiths. Presenting a workable way out of the theoretical polemics of the so-called religious strongholds, they soar high into the ethereal atmosphere of the spirit, and like a skylark, establish an abiding link between the mundane life on earth and the free and untarnished spiritual haven. All religions are theirs, and yet none binds them, for they place before humanity what is sublime in essence at the core of each. I am reminded of an episode in the life of Guru Nanak, who in his long travels once came to the town of Multan, a place greatly reputed for its sanctity, and at that time the abode of so many religious divines, both Hindus and Muslims. The latter, fearing that a new addition among them might mean a strain on their income from offerings, sent a cup of milk bubbling to the brim, symbolizing that the place was full to overflowing capacity and could not accommodate any more teachers. Do you know what Guru Nanak did? Excuse me. Do you know what Guru Nanak did? He plucked a few jasmine flowers that grew nearby, gently placed them on the surface of the milk, and asked the cupbearer to take the bowl back to the divines, thus showing that a truly religious person could just float over without disturbing the contents of the bowl of worldly riches. For his was a purely divine mission, meant only to diffuse sweet fragrance to all and sundry, irrespective of caste, color, or creed. Thus you will observe the great gulf that separates the so-called religious teachers and pontifical heads of the world, on the one hand, and a truly God-intoxicated soul on the other. For the latter acts as the divine pole on which the divinity of the great divine, the source of all life, works in the tumultuous sea of life. The master soul, the Murshid-e-Kamil, combines in his person all that the scriptures contain, and much more besides. He is a living embodiment of all that is truly religious, the spirit lying dormant in others. He is an awakened soul, transcending time and space and causation, holding the past, present, and future in the palm of his hands as an open book. The master of the creative life impulse throbbing in all things, visible and invisible, and competent to work simultaneously on all the planes, physical or terrestrial, subtle or mental, and causal or ethereal, and even beyond into the Parabrahmand of the Upanishadic texts. In his person, he is at once a Gurudev, or radiant master soul, working in the higher supramundane planes, and a Satguru, the veritable Lord controlling and sustaining the universe itself in all its stages. He is, in fact, Word made flesh, and dwells among us to gradually lead the aspiring souls back to the eternal home of his Father, from plane to plane, with varying degrees of density. His teachings promise a practical way out from the dense matter into the pure sunshine of the Spirit, by means of the Word power, or Holy Ghost, manifesting in him and revealed to those whom he may so choose. His is a direct experience of the soul, unlike the so-called teachers who work on the intellectual plane and quote scriptures in support of what they preach. In the case of a true master, the scriptures come as handy aids to correctly explain and interpret the mystic experience of the soul in its journey homeward, in addition to the actual, practical, inner experience granted to individuals, leaving no room for doubt and skepticism. All our present knowledge is based on sense perception, or is derived from intellectual reasoning, or, in other words, is purely inferential. The knowledge that a genuine teacher imparts is direct and immediate, coming from an actual experience of the soul apart from the senses. His words, coming directly charged with the spirit currents surging within him, sink directly into the souls of the listeners, leaving no doubt about the why and wherefore of things. When Naran, as Swami Vivekananda was known as a boy, before coming in contact with his angelic guru, Paramhansa Ramakrishna, when Naran questioned his master as to whether he had seen God, the reply was, "Yes, my child, I have seen God, and more plainly than I see you." This had an electrifying effect on the young man, who then and there bowed at his feet and was given the necessary God experience. In the same way, my master, Hazur Maharaj Baba Sawan Singh Ji, once remarked that he had not only seen God himself, but could make others see as well, if they followed his instructions. It was not an empty assurance when St. John declared, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." For had not Christ said, "I am the light of the world, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Religious experience, Plotinus says, is finding of the true home by the exile, the exiled spirit. And language has no means of conveying the supersensuous experience of the mystics. As light comes from light, so does life from life. For mysticism, which is described as the core of religion, can hardly be taught, though it might be possible to catch it from a true mystic. The human understanding, says Bacon, is like a false mirror, which, receiving rays, irregularly distorts and discolors the nature of things by mingling its own nature with it. But there is a direct communication between mystery and mystery, between the unknown soul and the unknown reality. And it is at one particular point in the texture of life that the hidden truth seems to break through the veil. From the foregoing, it is clear that the science of the soul is purely an experimental science. It is more positive than any of the physical sciences, and yields results which are truly verifiable with mathematical accuracy. An all-knowing mind, it is said, embraces the totality of being under the aspect of eternity, as we gain our entrance into the world of being, a total vision is ours. So with these preliminary remarks, we now take a hymn from the compositions of Swami Shivdayal Singh. Please hear attentively and try to understand the basic concept of spirituality which it conveys. And this is from Swamiji's hymn. O man, why don't you hurry to follow the Guru? The earthly time allotted to us so far has passed away in delusion. In the opening verse of the hymn, we have a sketch of human life as ordinarily spent in idle pursuits. The Master is addressing humanity at large, all the embodied souls, Hindus, Muslims, Sikhs, Christians, persons belonging to any other denomination, wherever they may happen to be, and of whatever profession or avocation. He asks us to just pause and look around, take stock of the situation as to how we have fared until now. With one mighty sweep, he tells us that all our past life up to this moment has been spent in utter delusion and is a dead loss so far as it is gone. We have never cared to weigh the problem of our spiritual emancipation, and whatever little we seem to have been doing is all at the level of our own man-made religious beliefs, which, though helpful to a great extent, are not an end in themselves. If you look at suffering humanity, you will find that it is only a very small minority which has anything to do with spiritual enlightenment. The majority of people are groping in the dark and are wholly engaged in the gratification of their sensual desires and have no time to attend to their self and the overself. It is only rare souls who, due to the evolution of some noble karmas in the past, think of finding a way out from the labyrinthine depths of sense enjoyments and yearn for spiritual enlightenment. Fortunate are those blessed few who have a craving for the Lord and the Master and endeavor in this direction. When fire burns, oxygen comes to its aid. There is food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. These words are for the chosen few who have been blessed with the rare boon of right understanding. So the Master says that we have cared little for following the instructions of the Guru. You will feel alarmed by such a sweeping generalization, but it is a fact, and you will understand how it is so. You see, it is the Guru who first loved us and picked us up for acceptance into the holy path, putting us in contact with the saving lifelines within. Now we are to see to what extent we have accepted the sacred teachings of the Master and adopted them in our workaday life, and to what extent we have cared to follow his commandments. It is a matter of personal evaluation. Each one of us is the best judge for himself and can testify to the extent that he has succeeded and what remains to be accomplished. So, like a loving father, the Master reminds us to consider this momentous issue of our life dispassionately and see why we are not true to the Guru and to ourselves. He tells us that the time passed so far has been spent in vain, and it is exactly so. If you carefully review your past, you will find that you were, for all these years, under the spell of a long dream. Similarly, when the hour of final change, commonly known as death, comes, the entire life looks like a fearful nightmare. Each passing moment is hurrying us towards this final change. The Masters have always laid stress on the necessity of making the best use of the physical existence, which is the highest rung in the ladder of creation. Should we once miss this rare opportunity, we will once again find ourselves in the endlessly moving gyres of life. And who knows when this opportunity may come again. So the present life is the best suited opportunity for the achievement of spiritual emancipation. And one more reading. This is one of Sanchi's Underground Room Talks. This was given in October of 1981 at Village 16 PS. And it was called The Place Where Grace Was Showered. So Sanchi says, "To obey the command of the Master is the first feat of success in the path of the Masters, because he never gives us any useless order. It may seem to us, in the beginning, outwardly, that the order which the Master is giving to us does not have any sense, or is useless. But in fact it is not useless, which is proved later on. Master is almighty, and he knows everything. He has taken the human form only because we are ignorant beings, and to teach us, he has taken our form. He is almighty. He is God. Master is the power who does not spare anyone. For him, the Sangat and his worldly children are both alike. As a matter of fact, his Sangat is his family, and the Sangat is very dear to him. He comes into this world only for the sake of the Sangat. If, without doing the meditation, one says, 'Master is mine,' or 'Master belongs to me,' he's going in the wrong direction. To whom does the Master belong? Master belongs only to those who do the meditation. In the form of Shabd, Master is pervading everywhere. That is why distance makes no difference for him. The oceans cannot separate his power. I came to this place from Kunichuk only because of the orders of the Master. He gave me the order to sit here and meditate. He has given me the orders to live simply all the time. And now also from within, he's telling me to be simple. I have no connection with my own family because graciously Kripal has finished off that connection. My family is the Sangat, and I belong to the Sangha. So at this place, obeying the order of the Master to be simple, I came here, and I made this simple house. The thing which you can see behind you is the kitchen where one Sevadar lived, who used to cook food for me while I was staying here. At that time, I also made that little tank that you see here for storing water. There was no program to expand this place, to make anything other than this here, so only this building was made at that time. The additional building that we have now is made only for the convenience of you people, and you can see that these new accommodations are also very simple. The Sevadar who used to live with me, I requested him, you eat your food at your regular time and leave my food here, and whenever I feel hungry, I will come out and eat. A meditator is not aware of when the day has passed or when the night has passed. I never kept any comfortable or soft cushion under me. You will see that wooden slab on which I used to sit. I didn't keep any cushion on it. Often, the Sevadar who was with me gave up hope for me because many times I wouldn't come out for 2 or 3 days. But the promise which Master made to me, that he would come to me, he told me, close your eyes and sit, and I will come to see you by myself. He kept that promise. He always used to come to see me. Master always fulfills the promises which he makes to the disciple. Those who understand the Master as only the body, and that he will do things according to their instructions, or that he will go to their places, then he will tell them, you have not understood the Master. When in the company of millions of people, he is doing satsang, or he is making us meditate, or when he is seeing us, at the same time, at some other place, he's protecting some other soul also. Many times we are surprised to see that the Master is sleeping, but at the same time, he is protecting some other soul far distant. Many times letters are received saying that the Master has protected them. When the disciple with whom this thing has happened comes and thanks him for the grace of the Master, Master simply replies, well, I was doing satsang. It was all God who was doing it. The saints do not show anything, and they do not say that they have done any favors for anybody. We should all do our bhajan and simran, because we are very fortunate that God showered grace on us and has brought us in his selection. If we do our bhajan and simran, that means that we will be helping our Master in his mission. Master Sawan Singh Ji used to say that the negative power will not forgive any even one single deed. Either the disciple has to pay the reaction or the Master does. Negative power has the full right to ask for anything from the body of the Master in connection with paying off the karma of the disciple. If he wants, he can even ask for blood or an eye or any part of the body, a leg or anything he wants, and the Master will have to give that to him without hesitation. The saints are free from all karma. Whatever pains or sufferings they have to go through is due to the karmas of the disciples, which they happily accept. So this is the place where Master Kripal showered all his grace on this little man. This is the place where he came and showered all his grace on me. Many times I have said that I was useless. Nobody was ready to even give a penny for me. But then I met Master Kripal Singh, and my body has become precious. All right, now, one by one, you can go down into the room and see it. And before we have our tape, I want to read one more small announcement. And this is a request. To preserve the gift of satsang, please maintain the silence and sweet remembrance after the satsang, for your benefit and out of kindness to others. And I want to add just a few remarks of my own to that. Long ago when I first came here, I know that Russell used to occasionally say at the end of the satsangs, you know, please remember that the masters have asked us to make the best use of having been at the satsang. Sawan Singh used to say, please don't, you know, stay around in idle gossip. Please go home and meditate for 2 to 4 hours. The masters used to say that they fill us up, excuse me, with their charging, and if we just engage in, you know, idle gossip and conversation, it sort of dribbles out little by little. And of course, it's easy. We really like each other, and you know, where can you go to find a place with lots of other dear satsangis that understand what you care about in all this stuff? And at the same time, where else can you go to have a place like this that the masters themselves have walked and sat with us and talked with us and provided a place full of charging? So it's not that there are rules about it. It's that it's a golden opportunity. And whatever we can take from here is for our benefit. And also, we want to be mindful of other people that I know some of you know that I have at times approached you in the vestibule and said, please, you know, don't talk in the hall after satsang. I mean, there are other people in the hall who stay after to meditate, and the voices in the vestibule do carry into the hall, so you're sort of disturbing people in that way. So it's a matter of opportunity and a matter of consideration and a matter of being mindful of the Master's gift to us in what he has given us here. All right. We're going to begin a talk that Sanchi gave in December of 1987. This is from Group 4. Of that year.
ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਅੱਗੇ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਦਾ ਛੋਟਾ ਜਿਹਾ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਰੱਖਿਆ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ। ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਇਹ ਛੋਟੇ ਜਿਹੇ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਬੜੇ ਪਿਆਰ ਨਾਲ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਦੀ ਅਸਲੀਅਤ ਦਾ ਨਕਸ਼ਾ ਬਣ ਕੇ ਦੱਸਦੇ ਹੈ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਅਸੀਂ ਆਮ ਤੌਰ ਲੋਕ ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਆ ਕੇ ਜਿਸ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨੇ ਇਸ ਨੂੰ ਪੈਦਾ ਕੀਤਾ, ਜਿਸ ਦੇ ਆਧਾਰ ਤੇ ਚੱਲ ਰਹੀ ਹੈ, ਉਹਨੂੰ ਭੁੱਲ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ। ਇੱਥੋਂ ਦੇ ਸਮਾਨ ਨਾਲ, ਇੱਥੋਂ ਦੀਆਂ ਦਾਤਾਂ ਨਾਲ, ਇੱਥੋਂ ਦੀਆਂ ਜਾਇਦਾਦਾਂ ਨਾਲ, ਹਰ ਚੀਜ਼ ਨਾਲ ਅਸੀਂ ਵੱਧ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ। ਹਰ ਬੰਦੇ ਦੀਆਂ ਆਪੋ ਆਪਣੀਆਂ ਸਮੱਸਿਆ ਪੈਦਾ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦੀਆਂ ਹੈ। ਇੱਕ ਇੱਕ ਸਮੱਸਿਆ ਚੋਂ ਹੋਰ ਵੀ ਬਹੁਤ ਸਾਰੀਆਂ ਸਮੱਸਿਆ ਉੱਗ ਪੈਂਦੀਆਂ ਹਨ। ਯਹਾਂ ਆਸਾ ਤਹਾਂ ਵਾਸਾ, ਕੋਈ ਐਸਾ ਬੰਦਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਿ ਜਿਸ ਦੀਆਂ ਸਭ ਆਸ਼ਾ ਪੂਰੀਆਂ ਹੋਈਆਂ ਹੋਣ, ਤ੍ਰਿਸ਼ਨਾ ਪੂਰੀਆਂ ਹੋਈਆਂ ਹੋਣ, ਔਰ ਉਹ ਆਖਰੀ ਵਕਤ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦਾ ਧਿਆਨ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੋਵੇ। ਨਹੀਂ, ਐਸਾ ਨਹੀਂ। ਕਿਸੇ ਦੀਆਂ 10 ਪੂਰੀਆਂ ਹੁੰਦੀਆਂ, 10 ਅਧੂਰੀਆਂ ਹੁੰਦੀਆਂ ਹਨ। ਜੋ ਅਧੂਰੀਆਂ ਹਨ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਉਸ ਵਕਤ ਯਾਦ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਉਹਦਾ ਸੰਕਲਪ ਪੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਆਸ ਪਾਸ ਵਾਲਿਆਂ ਨੂੰ ਵੀ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਸਭ ਕੁਛ ਹੋ ਗਿਆ, ਇਹ ਕੰਮ ਰਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ। ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਪੂਰਾ ਕਰਨ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਉਸੇ ਥਾਂ ਜਨਮ ਲੈਣਾ ਪੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਔਰ ਆਖਰ ਕੀ ਹੈ, ਜਦ ਉੱਥੇ ਪੈਦਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਉੱਥੇ ਹੋਰ ਸਮੱਸਿਆ ਖੜੀਆਂ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦੀਆਂ ਹਨ। ਦੋ ਫਿਰ ਪੂਰੀਆਂ ਕੀਤੀਆਂ, ਅਧੂਰੀਆਂ ਰਹੀਆਂ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਭੋਗਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਫੇਰ ਆਇਆ। ਇਹ ਜੰਮਣ ਮਰਨ ਦਾ ਸਿਲਸਿਲਾ ਸਾਡਾ ਅੱਜ ਤੱਕ ਜਦ ਦੀ ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਬਣੀ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਕਦੇ ਖਤਮ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੋਇਆ ਅਗਰ ਹੋਇਆ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਅੱਜ ਅਸੀਂ ਇਸ ਦੁਖੀ ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਵਿੱਚ ਹਾਜ਼ਰ ਨਾ ਹੁੰਦੇ
ਅ ਬ੍ਰੀਫ ਹਿਮ ਆਫ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਇਜ਼ ਪ੍ਰੈਜ਼ੈਂਟਡ ਟੂ ਯੂ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਬ੍ਰੀਫ ਹਿਮ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਲਵਿੰਗਲੀ ਡਰਾਸ ਦ ਮੈਪ ਆਫ ਦ ਰਿਐਲਿਟੀ ਆਫ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ ਇਨ ਫਰੰਟ ਆਫ ਅਸ ਹੀ ਟੈਲਸ ਅਸ ਦੈਟ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ ਯੂਜਲੀ ਵੈਨ ਵੀ ਕਮ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ we forget the creator who has created us and who has given us all the things and instead of getting attached to god almighty we get ourselves attached to the things of the world to the properties of this world and to all the things which were given to us for using so instead of remembering god almighty we start remembering all these worldly things and we get attached to those worldly things in this world everyone has his own problems If few of his problems are solved, he creates many more problems from the solution of the earlier problems, and in that way he always remains attached and involved in solving his problems. In this world you will not find anyone who has completed all his works, and that is why wherever one is attached, he goes only there. In this world there is no one who has fulfilled all his desires, who has completed all his tasks. If someone has completed four works, his two works remain unfulfilled or undone, and that is why when he does not, there is no one in this world who has finished all his works and at the time of his death remembers only God Almighty, because there is no one who has fulfilled all his desires, who has completed all his works. At the time of the death, when his unfulfilled desires come to his remembrance, when he remembers all those things, he tells all the people who are around him that I have finished all my works except this one, and then he starts thinking about that work. So whatever work he has not completed, or whatever desires which are not fulfilled, when he remembers those at the time of his death, he gets the thoughts and his attention goes into that work, and according to the thoughts and the attention of his last moment, he gets another birth. And in that birth also the same cycle starts, and he completes couple of works and some works remain unfulfilled, incomplete, and that is why in order to complete those unfulfilled works, incomplete works, he come back into this world again, and this goes on and on. This has been happening ever since we were separated from God Almighty. If all our works have been fulfilled, we would have not come back into this cycle of 84 lakhs. We would have not come back into this world. It is only because of our desires, it is only because of our incomplete works which we remember at the time of our death, that we come back into this world again and again to finish those incomplete works, and that is why we are here in this suffering world at this moment.
Pyareo, santan da maqsad eh nahi ke tuhanu parmatma ne ਅਗਰ ਪਿਛਲੇ ਅੱਛੇ ਕਰਮਾਂ ਦਾ ਇਨਾਮ ਦਿੱਤਾ ਹੈ, ਜਾਇਦਾਦ ਦਿੱਤੀ ਹੈ, ਬੱਚੇ ਦਿੱਤੇ ਹੈ, ਹੋਰ ਸਹੂਲਤਾਂ ਦਿੱਤੀਆਂ ਹਨ, ਤਾਂ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਛੱਡ ਕੇ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਜੰਗਲਾਂ ਪਹਾੜਾਂ 'ਚ ਲੁਕ ਜਾਓ, ਐਸੀ ਗੱਲ ਨਹੀਂ। ਉਹ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਜੋ ਜ਼ਿੰਮੇਵਾਰੀਆਂ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਮਿਲੀਆਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਪੂਰੀਆਂ ਕਰੋ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਅਸਲੀਅਤ ਨੂੰ, ਸੱਚਾਈ ਨੂੰ ਸਮਝ ਕੇ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਵਰਤਾਓ ਕਰੋ।
ਡੀਅਰ ਵੰਸ, ਸੇਂਟਸ ਡੂ ਨਾਟ ਮੀਨ ਦੈਟ ਇਫ ਗੋਡ ਆਲਮਾਈਟੀ ਹੈਜ਼ ਗਿਵਨ ਯੂ the worldly wealth, the sons, the daughters, and the riches of this world because of your own good past karmas, that you should leave all these things and go and hide yourself in the jungles. They do not mean to say this. They say that if God Almighty has blessed you with all these comforts and all the things of this world, understanding their reality, you should get involved with them, you should indulge with them, and you should use them only after understanding its reality.
Agar Paramatma ne tuhade suhoolat vaste achhi patni, ਅੱਛੇ ਬੱਚੇ ਦੇ ਦਿੱਤੇ ਹੈ, ਅੱਛਾ ਸਰੀਰ ਦੇ ਦਿੱਤਾ ਹੈ ਤੁਹਾਡੀ ਸੇਵਾ ਵਾਸਤੇ, ਤੁਸੀਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਸੇਵਾ ਲਓ, ਪਿਆਰ ਨਾਲ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਵਿੱਚ ਰਹੋ। ਐਸਾ ਨਾ ਹੋਏ ਕਿ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਬਜਾਏ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਸੇਵਾ ਤੋਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਹੀ ਸੇਵਾਦਾਰ ਬਣ ਕੇ ਰਹਿ ਜਾਓ।
ਇਫ ਫਾਰ ਯੋਰ ਕਨਵੀਨੀਅੰਸ ਐਂਡ ਕੰਫਰਟ ਗੋਡ ਆਲਮਾਈਟੀ ਹੈਜ਼ ਗਿਵਨ ਯੂ ਅ ਬਿਊਟੀਫੁਲ ਵਾਈਫ, ਅ ਲਵਿੰਗ ਡਿਵੋਟਿਡ ਵਾਈਫ, ਐਂਡ ਇਫ ਹੀ ਹੈਜ਼ ਗਿਵਨ ਯੂ ਗੁੱਡ ਬਿਊਟੀਫੁਲ ਹੈਲਦੀ ਚਿਲਡਰਨ ਫਾਰ ਯੋਰ ਸੇਵਾ, then you should live with them and you should let them do your seva. It is not good that instead of letting them do the seva for you, you become their sevadas, you start serving them.
Badi soch samjhan di gall hai, jad maut aundi hai, ant sama aunda hai, mata naal nahi jandi, bacche naal nahi jande, pati patni ik dooje da saath nahi dende ge, ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਨਾਲ ਸਾਡਾ ਇਤਨਾ ਵੱਧ ਲਗਾਓ ਹੈ। ਸੱਚਾਈ ਤਾਂ ਇਹ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਜਿਉਂਦੇ ਜਿਉਂਦੇ ਹੀ ਇੱਕ ਦੂਜੇ ਦਾ ਅਸੀਂ ਸਾਥ ਛੱਡਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਤਿਆਰ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹਾਂ। ਮਾਤਾ ਪਿਤਾ ਬੁੱਢੇ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ, ਬੱਚੇ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਖਿਆਲ ਬੁੱਢੇ, ਇਹ ਖੁਦ ਬੁੱਢੇ, ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਹੁਣ ਕੀ ਕੰਮ ਹੈ। ਹੁਣ ਤਾਂ ਹਿੰਦੁਸਤਾਨ ਚ ਵੀ ਹਰਿਦੁਆਰ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਬਿਰਧ ਆਸ਼ਰਮ ਬਣ ਗਿਆ ਹੈ, ਪੱਛਮ ਦੇ ਵਿਚ ਤਾਂ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਹੈ ਬਣੇ ਹੀ ਹੋਏ ਹੈ। ਮਾਤਾ ਪਿਤਾ ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਨੇ ਸਾਰੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਬੱਚਿਆਂ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਕੁਰਬਾਨੀ ਕੀਤੀ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੈ, ਬੱਚੇ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਹੁਣ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਬਿਰਧ ਆਸ਼ਰਮ ਦੇ ਵਿਚ ਜਾਓ। ਮਾਤਾ ਪਿਤਾ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਪਿਆਰ ਛੱਡ ਨਹੀਂ ਸਕਦੇ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਉਹ ਫਿਰ ਵੀ ਬੱਚਿਆਂ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਤਾਂ ਰੋਂਦੇ ਹੈ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਭਜਨ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਨਹੀਂ ਰੋਂਦੇ ਗੇ, ਮਾਲਕ ਦੇ ਮਿਲਾਪ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਫਿਰ ਵੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਰੋਂਦੇ। ਫਿਰ ਵੀ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਦਿਲ ਨੂੰ ਚੋਟ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਗਦੀਗੀ ਵੀ ਅਸੀਂ ਹੁਣ ਤਾਂ ਭਜਨ ਕਰਕੇ ਆਖਰੀ ਟਾਈਮ ਪਿਛਲੇ ਟਾਈਮ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨਾਲ ਮਿਲਾਪ ਕਰ ਲਈਏ। ਫਿਰ ਵੀ ਉਹ ਬੱਚਿਆਂ ਦੀ ਖਾਤਰ ਹੀ ਰੋਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਹੋਰ 4 ਦਿਨ ਇੱਥੇ ਰਹਿਣ ਦੇ।
ਯੂ ਨੋ ਦੈਟ ਵੈਨ ਅਵਰ ਐਂਡ ਟਾਈਮ ਕਮਸ ਦੈਨ ਨੋਬਡੀ ਗੋਸ ਵਿਦ ਅਸ, ਨੀਦਰ ਅਵਰ ਮਦਰ ਗੋਸ ਵਿਦ ਅਸ, ਨੋਰ ਅਵਰ ਬ੍ਰਦਰ ਔਰ ਫਾਦਰ, ਨੋਟ ਈਵਨ ਦਾ ਮੋਸਟ ਲਵਡ ਵਨਸ ਵਿਦ ਹੂਮ ਵੀ ਹੈਡ ਸੋ ਮਚ ਲਵ, ਦੇ ਗੋ ਵਿਦ ਅਸ ਐਂਡ ਸਮਟਾਈਮਸ ਈਵਨ ਵਾਇਲ ਵੀ ਆਰ ਸਟਿਲ ਲਿਵਿੰਗ, ਵਾਇਲ ਵੀ ਆਰ ਸਟਿਲ ਇਨ ਦਾ ਬਾਡੀ, ਦੇ ਵਾਂਟ ਟੂ break up of their connection with us, they want to go away from us. You know that when the parents become old, the children want them to go to the elderly people's home, and many times the husbands also leave the wives and the wives also leave the husband. In the West, it is very common to have the elderly people home, and when the parents become old, the children start saying that now you have become old, your thoughts are old, your ways are old, and that is why you cannot live with us. You go and live in that elderly people's home. In India also nowadays, in Haridwar, they have a place for the old people. Those children, those who don't want to have the old people at their home, they send them over there. So the meaning of saying this is that many times, even while we are still living, our most beloveds, our most loved ones, for whom we sacrifice everything, they don't want to continue living with us. They do not want to continue taking care of us. And that is why they want to part with us, from us, even while we are still in the body. But still, the parents are such that they are so much attached and they love their children so much that instead of, even at that time when they are thrown away from by their children, instead of remembering God Almighty and instead of having the pain for doing the devotion of Lord, they are still attached to their children and they still want to live with their children even though they don't want Him there. They do not cry for the devotion of Lord, they do not cry for God Almighty, but they want that they should be allowed to live with their children a little more.
Jab ਬੱਚਿਆਂ ਦੇ ਪੱਤਰ ਵੀ ਆਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ, ਇੰਟਰਵਿਊ ਚ ਵੀ ਪੁੱਛਦੇ ਆ ਬੁੱਢੇ ਬੁੱਢੀ ਵਾਸਤੇ, ਔਰ ਬੁੱਢਾ ਬੁੱਢੀ ਵੀ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਇੰਟਰਵਿਊ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਮਿਲਦੇ ਹੈ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਵੀ ਪੱਤਰ ਆਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ। ਜਦੋਂ ਆਪੋ ਆਪਣੀ ਕਹਾਣੀ ਦੱਸਦੇ ਹੈ, ਦਿਲ ਤੇ ਬੜਾ ਅਸਰ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ। ਮੇਰੇ ਕੋਲ ਇੱਕ ਹੀ ਜਵਾਬ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਜਿਸ ਵਾਤਾਵਰਨ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਅਸੀਂ ਰਹਿ ਰਹੇ ਹਾਂ, ਅਸੀਂ ਉਹ ਹੀ ਦੱਸਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਕਿ ਦੇਖੋ ਸਾਡੇ ਇਲਾਕੇ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਬੁੱਢੇ ਹੋਏ ਡੰਗਰ ਨੂੰ ਬਾਹਰ ਨਹੀਂ ਛੱਡਦੇ। ਅਗਰ ਕੋਈ ਆਦਮੀ ਡੰਗਰ ਨੂੰ ਬੁੱਢੇ ਨੂੰ ਬਾਹਰ ਛੱਡਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਜਾਏ, ਉਹਨੂੰ ਲੋਕ ਪੁੱਛਦੇ ਆ ਕਿਉਂ ਬਈ ਇਹਨੂੰ ਕਿੱਥੇ ਲਈ ਜਾਣਾ। ਅਗਰ ਉਹ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਮੈਂ ਗਊਸ਼ਾਲਾ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਛੱਡਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਜਾਣਾ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਕਿੰਨੇ ਸਾਲ ਇਹਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਖਾਧੀ, ਉਹ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ 10 ਸਾਲ, ਕੀ ਫਿਰ ਕੇ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਹੱਕ ਹੈ? ਫਿਰ ਉਹ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਮਿਹਣਾ ਮਾਰਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਅੱਜ ਤੂੰ ਇਸ ਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਖਾ ਕੇ ਬਾਹਰ ਛੱਡਦਾ ਹੈ, ਕੱਲ ਨੂੰ ਤੇਰੇ ਬੱਚੇ ਵੀ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਇਸੇ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਹੀ ਬਾਹਰ ਛੱਡਣਗੇ।
When the children write to me about their old parents or when they come to see me in the interview, many times the older parents also come and see me or they write me, they tell me in the interview about their problem that they want to live with their children but the children don't want them there. Then I feel very sorry for them because I still have the effect of the area in which I was brought up and which I am living, where we don't even turn away the old animals when they are no longer of any use. We still take care of them because in this area what people do, if someone sees that his animal is of no use and if he wants to get rid of that and if he is taking out to leave it to some place where they keep the old animals, the useless animals, and if he meets someone on the way who asks him that where you are taking this old animal, and if he replies that I want to get rid of this because he is useless and I'm going to leave this in the place for the old animals, then that person asked him that for how many years he used him and for how many years he earned money for you. And if that person replies that for 10 years or for so many years, then that person who had asked him that where he was taking the animal, he taunts him and he says that look here, today you are getting rid of this animal because he is useless for you, and after using it for so many years, now you are throwing him out of your home. Just imagine what will happen when your children will also throw you out of your home, when they will think that you are no longer useful to them.
एक आदमी ज़्यादा तो पिता बुजुर्ग हो गया उन्हें वो दिवार से एक घंटी लिया के रख देती कि तेनु जब भूख लगे उस वे खड़काया कर लोड़ी चीज तेनु मिल जाएगी उसने आपके लड़के नु स्कूले पाया पढ़न वास्ते जब पढ़िया उन होश आई दिल च ख्याल आया ऐसिया कहानियां मिल गया कि माँ बाप का बच्चे ते की आसान हुंदा है क्योंकि बच्चे की उस वेले माता पिता ने मदद करी हुंदी है जब असहाय हुंदा है आप तो मक्खी नहीं उड़ा सकदा गा और पासा नहीं ले सकदा गा उन्हूं टट्टी पेशाब का ज्ञान नहीं कि मैं मूंह च पावां या ना पावां ऐसे वक्त दे विच उन्होंने मदद करी हुंदी है उन्हें सोचा कि यह आपके माता पिता का कोई आसान ही समझदा नहीं गा उसने की किया उन्होंने बजुर्गों तो वह घंटी ले ली कि तुसी मैनू दे दिओ हो सकता तुहानू दो चार घंटे उड़ीक करनी पे या भुखा भी रहना पे पर तुसी तसीहा चल लियो जब पुछणगे मैं आप ही जवाब देऊंगा जो देखिया की गल है जे बुढ़े बुढ़ी ने घंटी नहीं बजाई वह कह लग्या कि घंटी तां तो मैं ले ली है उन्हां दे पास ही है नहीं बजाउण कित्थों कि तू क्यों ली वह कह लग्या मता इह घंटी नूं कसा देण या तोड़ देण जब मैं तकड़ा हो गया एक घंटी उस वक्त रखी हुई है मैं थानू फड़ाऊंगा तुसी भी बजाया करोगे तद ही थानू खाना दाना मिलिया करेगा वो कहने लगे की बेटा तू साडे नाल वाकई ऐसा कुछ करेगा वो कहने लगे भी देख जो करदा वो भरदा है जो तुसी अपने मां बाप ने यह कुछ करदे हो तो मेरा भी फर्ज बनता है कि उस तरह करा
वंस देयर वाज अ मैन हू डिड नॉट टेक गुड केयर ऑफ हिज ओल्ड फादर He brought a bell for his old father, and he gave him that bell, saying that whenever you need anything, you ring this bell, and whatever you will need will be given to you. So whenever you are hungry and whenever you need anything, you should just ring the bell, and somebody will come and give you the food or whatever thing you need. His son was seeing all these things. So when his son went to the school, over there he heard all the stories that how one should serve his parents and what the parents do for the children. They take care of the child at such a time when the child is helpless, when he does not even know how to remove the fly from his face, and he does not even know what he should eat and how he should eat. He does not have any knowledge of the world. So the parents take care of the child at that time when nobody else can do anything for the child. So that is why when the child grows up, he should take very good care of the parents, because there is no way one can pay back to the parents for what they have done for the child. So when that boy came to know about all these stories, he felt very bad when he saw that his grandfather was being mistreated by his father. So he came there and he told his grandfather that you give me your bell and don't worry about it, just bear the thirst and hunger for a couple of hours, and then they themselves will come to you and they will ask you what you need, and then they will take care of you. So he took that bell, and on that day when the old man did not ring the bell, his son thought that what is the reason why the old man has not rung the bell. He came there and he asked that why have you not rung the bell today. So his son was there and he said that how can he ring the bell when I have taken the bell from him. He asked him that why you have taken the bell. He replied that I have taken this bell because I am afraid that by using this bell so much, he will want this bell out. So what will I give to you when you become old and when you will need a bell like this? So that man came to realize and he asked that, son, tell us that really are you going to do this with us? He said that of course, when you grow old, whatever you are doing to your father, it becomes my duty to imitate you, and I will also do exactly the same thing which you are doing to your father.
ਹਿੰਦੂਆਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ
we will close with one of Sanchi's bhajans. This is on page 119. Menu terde bina kise di na lorda. O giver, I need no one except you. The world fights, but still does not become successful, no matter if they get millions or billions. O giver, wherever you send me, I go there. I always eat what you give. I am the puppet. In your hand is the string. I wandered in every corner. I got your radiance everywhere. I saw no one else except you. Wherever I go, I sing of you. I carry your message. You have installed the lock, and you yourself turn the key. Beautiful Emperor Kripal has become gracious on Ajab. May my love become like that of the moon and the moonbird. O giver, I need no one except you.
Menu tere bina kise dina lordatia. 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 Duniya jagade mula landi. Purifera vina pendi. Duniya jagade mula landi. Purifera vina pendi. Pave mila jai lakate karo datia. Menu tere bina kise dina lordatia. Menu tere bina kise dina lordatia. Chitte beje data java. Tera tita sada hi kava. Chitte beje data java. Tera tita sada hi kava. Meha putle tere hata to datia. Menu tere bina kise dina lordatia. Menu tere bina kise dina lordatia. Kone kone te me firia. Nura tera hareta amilia. Kone kone te me firia. Nura tera hareta amilia. Menu tere bina disa dana hordatia. Menu tere bina kise dina lordatia. Menu tere bina kise dina lordatia. Chitte java tenu kava. Tera sandesha puchava. Chitte java tenu kava. Tera sandesha puchava. Tera laya tala chabi tumaro datia. Menu tere bina kise dina lordatia. Menu tere bina kise dina lordatia. Sona shakira pal hoya jaiba de deal. Sona shakira pal hoya jaiba te deal. Tera maya hojae chanda te karo datia. Menu tere bina kise dina lordatia. Menu tere bina kise dina lordatia.
Beautiful Emperor Kripal has become gracious on Kripal. May my love become like that of the moon and the moonbird. O giver, I need no one except you. May God bless us all.